Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show. Want to take a quick second to interrupt the episode and let you guys know that we are partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. Guys, I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know anything about buying a home. All right, I've never done it. I'm 25 years old and you need someone who's going to educate you on the process. Okay. Louis literally helped Kevin just buy a home. Kevin just purchased a home in Iowa City. He used this is a real relationship. This isn't just some phony, like read an ad, get paid type of thing. Louis is seriously helpful. He helped Kevin. He can help you. Let me read a couple reviews of Louis. Jacob said, as a realtor, it is important to me to be able to have a relationship with lenders that are honest, hardworking, and trustworthy. Louis went above and beyond for my clients, myself, and the new homeowners. Couldn't be happier with the way he educated them throughout the process and the way it made it simplistic. I highly recommend Louis to anyone looking for a mortgage lender. That's just one. Chris said, working with Louis was nothing but a positive experience. He went out of his way to introduce himself to me on a holiday weekend, knowing that I was only in town for a short time. He made the whole loan process effortless on our part. I would definitely recommend him to anyone. Now, doesn't that sound like some guy that you would want to work with? All right, some guy that we recommend, that we have talked to, that we know is going to help you get the process done. And like I said before in these ads, I'm pretty sure that mortgage rates are at an all-time low. So if you're in that process right now or you need some help, you need some information, contact Louis. Again, we've set up a private email just for our listeners of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Contact him at hawks@gohomeside.com, or you can just search Louis Wickett and find him online. Now back to the show. Episode 140 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons, solo episode with me again today. And our guest, Sage Olensalen, the captain and senior member of the women's Iowa swimming team, comes on to talk about the four programs being cut and fight for Iowa swimming to come back. It's a really good episode. I'm so glad we had Sage on. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in, fans, again to the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Third episode in a row that you've got me solo today. So I'm sure at this point you're sick of just hearing my voice. We probably miss Kevin and Drake.
But again, I have another guest here today to help me with the episode, to give us some content, to talk about some things that are happening at the University of Iowa. Last week, you guys heard from men's gymnast Stuart Brown and his side of the University of Iowa cutting four sports and cutting the men's gymnastics program. Today in the house, we have Sage Olensalen. Is that how we say it?
Yeah, that's right.
Got it. All right, cool. Sage Olensalen, senior at the University of Iowa, captain of the swim team, and walk-on, correct?
Yes, I'm a walk-on.
Perfect. Washed up walk-ons. We got one in the building. So this is great. Sage has been probably, at least to my knowledge, the most vocal of any of the swimmers.
Yes.
And volunteered and reached out when I put out a feeler on Twitter for any of the athletes on the inside the programs that were cut to come on and kind of share their voice and tell us kind of, you know, just be able to have another outlet to express this and be a part of this. So first off, Sage, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Like I said off air, you've done this a couple times. I just listened to one of the podcasts you were on. You've done a couple articles. I'm sure not the kind of publicity that you really want right now, but nonetheless, here we are. And I want you to give the listeners and myself, because I don't really know, a little bit of background on you and how, kind of, when you started swimming all the way up through, like, how you became a Hawkeye and how you made your way to the University of Iowa.
Yeah, so my name is Sage Olensalen. That was already said. I'm from Bettendorf, Iowa, which is about an hour from Iowa City, so small town Iowa girl. I started swimming when I was 5 years old, and I started doing doubles, I think, when I was 10, so I was... I think like nine. So I started advanced swimming at a very young age.
Doubles as in like two practices a day?
Yeah, in two practices a day. So I remember in sixth grade, I would have morning practices, you know, wow. Elementary school. And I think we'd go to morning practice during elementary school.
That's intense.
Yeah, so I grew up swimming very seriously. And it was never my parents that were pushing me to do it. It was me. I loved it and I wanted to swim. I went to the Hawkeye swim camps when I was 9 years old, and that's where I met Coach Mark Long and at the time Coach Franny Malone. And I realized at that point that I really loved this program. There was so much about it that I thought was really special. I really connected with Coach Mark, and he still remembers me from when I was nine, so that's really cool. And I kind of made it my goal right then, like, I know this is where I want to be. And I started focusing and thinking about, like, what are the steps to becoming a Hawkeye? And then, so my senior year came around and I wasn't at the level that I really wanted to be yet, which was unfortunate. So I was really nervous that I wasn't, you know, going to get my dream, which was Iowa. And I was being contacted by other schools like Iowa State and UNI, but Iowa was really where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
Iowa is the highest level swimming school in the state of Iowa. You know, it's got a $70 million facility, much history to the program. So, but luckily, I had a really good state meet my senior year. At the meet, Coach Franny, she's no longer here, but she was there at the time and was at the swim camps. You know, she walked up to my parents and told them, you know, they were really interested in me. And a couple of days later, I was offered a walk-on position, and it was the best day of my life. Mm-hmm. Was when I got the opportunity to swim for this school, and I still consider it the best day of my life. And yep. I'm so happy that this is where I ended up.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. And the great thing about the Iowa program here is what a lot of people don't realize is in the smaller sports, there's not a lot of scholarship money. There's really not.
Right.
So even if I was to go to an out-of-state program and get a scholarship, it still wouldn't have been as affordable as being a walk-on at Iowa. So, you know, for me, an in-state school was my only option financially. So that's why I was so lucky to have the Iowa program to be able to swim at a high level of swimming at an affordable price.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If my other two co-hosts could relate, and me for sure, that like moment when you get offered the walk-on spot, it's like that golden ticket, right? It's so,
yes,
it's
absolutely.
Like, it's like the, all you need is the door to just open a sliver and you can, and somehow, some way, like you'll get your foot in there and you'll wedge your way into the program. Like you believe in yourself. And when it finally like creaks open and you have that chance, it's an insane feeling. I still remember that day for myself. So
absolutely,
I relate with that a lot. So you said, so you're Bettendorf Bulldog, huh? Is that what they are?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So
yep, we're the Bulldogs.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned the state meet your senior year where you had that good performance. Is state still in Marshalltown?
For the women it is, but for the men it's in Iowa City. I don't know why they're in different locations now.
Okay. I'm from Marshalltown. So,
okay.
So I would drive by and state swimming, and one of the co-hosts actually, he played fullback when we played football, but he was actually a swimmer in high school from Muscatine. So, Drake, he would probably still get on here and like try and talk up his 100 free or something like that. So that's kind of a connection that, that's about the only connection that I have to like any kind of swimming in the state of Iowa. But, I know that Marshalltown, like the YMCA has a nice pool and,
Yeah, that's where I was recruited. So special place in my heart.
Yeah, kind of cool. So you make your way to Iowa, you walk on, and there's no promises, right? Like there's never any promises. You got to go earn it. You have to kind of grind out your own path. What was it like for you to, like, what was that to, like, where did you start to see time in the meets? Like, how does swimming work even? Not everybody gets to swim in a race, do they? Like, or how does that work?
Yeah. So not everybody gets to travel, be on the travel team. Sure. Usually what happens is you have, in a normal circumstance, they'll try to bring about 3 people per event.
Sure.
So your goal is really to be top 3 in your event on the team. That kind of solidifies your place on the travel team.
Okay.
So my goal walking in my freshman year was like, oh, I want to be on that travel team. That's my goal. And I remember the first meet, it was to Purdue. They told us the day before who was traveling. So all week we were really, really nervous. Me and like all the other freshmen were like, oh my God, like, are we going to travel? Are we going to travel? And then I remember getting that text message, like, you're on the travel team, you know, here's the itinerary. I was like, oh my God. So no longer am I just a walk-on. Now I'm on the travel team.
Yep.
So that was an amazing day too, is, you know, when you realize like, okay, I'm here, but now I've made it. Now I'm actually, you know, contributing to the team. I'm an important part. They want to take me to a meet, you know, and at Purdue.
Yeah. Everything gets serious. Then you're like, okay, it's game time. Like it's time to go. That's super exciting. So you actually saw time and races your freshman year.
I did.
That's
yes.
Cool. That's awesome. And what's your stroke?
I swim the breaststroke.
Okay. Okay, cool. So you're now in your senior year. So your 4th year, and, COVID hits earlier this spring. What was the last, like, kind of over the summer months, you know, March, April, May, June, kind of the last 6 months, what's that been like training wise? What has it been like, kind of program wise? Was there any sort of, because we're going to get to the decision in a second, was there any sort of feeling that the sport was in jeopardy in those 6 months, or was there any talk of that? Because when I talked to Stuart last week from the gymnastics team, and he kind of did his own kind of research into the university's financials, he was actually, when y'all were brought into that meeting with Gary Barta, he was kind of expecting the news because he had been following the financials of the situation. What was that like from your perspective?
So we had no idea. On the swim team, this wasn't a thought in our heads. You know, about 9 years ago, they had just built us a $70 million facility.
Right.
So we thought, you know, it never came across my mind that we would be cut.
Okay.
You know, over the 6 months, we heard nothing. We only heard good things from our coaches. What we did expect is we expected that our season was either going to be postponed or not happen at all. So in my head, I kind of knew like there was a chance that I might never swim again, but I never thought that the jeopardy of my teammates and that my team would be in jeopardy. I didn't think that they were just going to completely wipe the whole team from the board.
Right. You mentioned in one of your interviews that you did that it, you know, you are a senior. So, and with the whole COVID situation, you were kind of over time became okay with the end of your career being cut or being kind of switched up. but it was more so the younger teammates that you have on the squad. All of the, you even mentioned that you taught and coached a club around the area, and like all of those people and kids who have dreams to go swim at the University of Iowa, that's really who you felt for the most. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So like I said, I grew up and my dream was to swim for Iowa. It was the only thing I ever wanted to do. It was the only thing I talked about. I have an Iowa swim sticker stuck on my ceiling, like a car sticker. My dad is still mad about it.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. So, you know, and I have had the opportunity to work with a lot of really young children in the sports. I've done the Hawkeye Swim Camp for 2 years. I coach for Iowa Flyers, which is a club team in Iowa City. And I also did a swim camp in Bettendorf.
Okay, cool.
Or sorry, Moline, but Bettendorf kids.
Right, sure.
And I've had so many kids come up to me and say like, oh, my goal is to do what you do. Like, I want to go to Iowa. Tell me about the Iowa program. You know, how did you get there? What are the steps? And I, that's one of my favorite conversations, because I feel like I'm somebody who, I wasn't born with amazing natural talent. I wasn't, you know, I didn't come out of the womb swimming.
Sure.
Like, I feel like I really clawed my way here.
Yeah, it's that walk-on mentality.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Like, it's possible. So I love sharing my story and telling people what they can do to get to my position. That's what makes me happy, is passing on my wisdom. So when I found out that this program wasn't going to exist anymore, like, yes, I was sad for myself, but that wasn't what I was really sad about. I was more sad for the thousands of kids in Iowa who are having their dream taken away from them.
Right.
And, you know, I will say the good thing about women's swimming is there are more women's programs than men's. Like I said, you and I and Iowa State both do have women's programs, but there's no more men's programs in the state of Iowa. So if there's a kid out there who is just like me, who my brother is, he's a junior in high school right now, so he's going through the exact same things that I was going through. You know, swimming for Iowa was his main option because we couldn't afford to go out of state. You know, that wasn't a financial option. And like I said, scholarships are really scarce in swimming.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get over 10%. And, you know, if you only get a 10% scholarship, that's not going to lower an out of state tuition to an in-state level. That won't do that, even on top of an academic scholarship.
Sure.
So for many people, staying in state is their main option. And now that option is taken away from them. And I don't think it's fair that just because somebody doesn't have the financial opportunity that they might not be able to compete in college.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate on a lot of different levels. Let's go back to, I think it was now 10 days ago that this was announced.
Yes, the worst day of my life.
Yeah, so you guys were brought in on, let's see, it would have been like Friday the 21st or something like that. Describe that morning. And I talked with Stuart about this as well. I told him there's just no way that I could ever imagine. And now that I got your background on it, not expecting it, not really following over the summer that this was even a possibility or that this was something that could actually happen, I could never imagine walking in and having Coach Ferentz say that football is being cut. Obviously, football is the last program that would ever be cut. But it would just, I mean, just the emotional, like, talk about it. It would, just thinking about it makes me hurt right now. So I can't imagine going through it.
Yeah, so that was, I've had a nightmare about it every night since then. So I feel like I'm reliving
just,
it.
Yeah, I know. I'm really brave. Yeah. I'm just taking you through it.
No,
I'm sorry.
I like talking about it. You know, I'm getting the word out. So what happened is we woke up Friday morning and our season hadn't started yet. So we didn't have scheduled practice or anything. You know, school hadn't started yet.
Sure.
And we had like this urgent text message that was like, you need to be at Carver Hawkeye Arena at 10:30. And I was like, well, this is really weird, because usually in athletics, it's like a rule. They have to give you 24-hour notice before they put something on your schedule. So I was like, this is really strange. And also, we were all supposed to get COVID tested because athletes can't compete or train without passing or being negative from
right.
COVID. So, and this meeting was scheduled during my COVID test. So I got a message from our athletic trainer who was like, skip your COVID testing. We're all like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you told us under no circumstance can you skip your COVID test. So we were all really freaked out. You know, our group chat was blowing up and, you know, but people didn't think we were going to get cut. The general consensus was that we just weren't going to have a season this year. You know, they were just going to press pause. we had no idea what was really going to happen. So when we walked in there, they brought us four floors down. Because no covers really has quite the basement.
Right.
So they brought us four floors down and we're in this practice gym in the basement and we're all sitting in these metal folding chairs, 6 feet apart. And it's all four sports. And then on the wall lined up, you know, perpendicular to us are all the coaches. And they're all sitting like one chair apart from each other. And none of them are making eye contact with us. So we're right away like,
yeah,
what the heck? Because, you know, we haven't seen our coaches for months.
Right. It's messed up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So we all sit down in these metal folding chairs and it's dead silent. We all have our masks on. You can't hear anybody. And then Gary walks in, Gary Barda, and he stands up in front of us and he says,
"Want to take a quick second to interrupt the show and let you guys know that we are sponsored by Manscaped. Fantasy football draft season is upon us. Due to quarantine, it's very possible that you might have Zeke's haircut in your pants. That's why our partners at Manscaped have partnered with us to make sure you don't gamble on shaving your balls the same way you like to gamble on football. When it comes to men's hygiene, Manscaped is as good and safe as Christian McCaffrey in a PPR league. None of the women that are listening know what I'm talking about, but the guys, you for sure do. Wash Up Walk-Ons Nation, we're getting tweets and pictures of on Instagram and tags of all of you guys using these Manscaped products, buying the Lawnmower 3.0, and all of you guys have been happy so far, have not had one bad comment or review yet. So if you haven't jumped on this, why not now? All right, and it's my recommendation, personally, this is just me, Tyler, saying that the perfect package is really where it's at. For a limited time, subscribers are not also not, I can't talk, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, it's a $39 value for free. And the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. I just worked out in those the other day. Again, 20% off and free shipping with the code WALKON, W-A-L-K-O-N, at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WALKON at manscaped.com. It's time to give your testies the absolute besties with Manscaped. Now back to the show. Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
You know, hello, I'm assuming at this point you guys know it's not good news. And we're all like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and then he says, but I do have good news. The good news is you can continue your sport this year. But after that, your sports will be discontinued at Iowa. We're all like, what? Like discontinued, like done? You know, it's the room's dead silent. And everyone's just looking at each other, you know, people start crying, like, it's the mood. I can't even describe it. Like, I can't even describe the pain that everybody in that room was feeling. It felt to me like a horror movie. Yeah. Like, it was absolutely terrifying. And Gary talked for maybe another minute and then he left. And he didn't say he was sorry. He didn't, you know, explain anything. He just left. He's basically, all he said was, this decision is final, and then left the room. And he left Dave Asselmeyer, who's the compliance guy, and Marcus something, I can't remember his last name or what his exact title is, in there to answer our questions. And so, you know, one kid on our team raises his hand. He's like, in the future, could this be reversed? Like, and, you know, future is a broad term. Like, this could mean in 10, 20 years, could we have another swim team?
Right.
And the guy just right away goes, nope. I felt like there was no sympathy. I felt like there was no respect. And the other thing that was terrible that I just recently found this out is many of the parents didn't find out through their kids, like the parents of the athletes whose programs were cut, they found out through the media. Because before we were let out of the meeting, the media already knew it. I don't know who told the media, but it was already out. So a lot of people, you know, had text messages from their parents, like, what is happening? So I thought it was really disrespectful also that, you know, the athletics department didn't notify the parents before they notified the media.
Yeah, that's the media has some odd way of always finding its way into situations like that. And that's super unfortunate because that is like such a sensitive kind of situation. So you guys sat there. That really is interesting. And I know that that's just the most impossible spot to be in for Gary Barta. But also, like, you would think he might stick around and answer at least a few questions. You know, right. He's a busy guy. Maybe he has somebody else take over for a second, but it would be nice to see him answer a few questions. So you mentioned, like, somebody raised their hand and said, could this be reversed? And speculating just on my part, I feel like this isn't final. Like, I feel like you said 10 years ago they put $70 million into a facility. I've been in that facility. It's insane. There's no way that it's just going to sit empty and not get used. I mean, the infrastructure for a program is obviously already in place. And this brings me to kind of another, did anybody like raise their hand and say, what is the reason why we're being cut? Why did they say it was because of the financials? Like, was it specifically, it's because we can't afford to run the program?
I felt like that question wasn't ever really addressed.
Okay.
It was just kind of pushed to the side, maybe a little bit like, oh, we can't afford it right now. But that doesn't really make sense because of our programs, all four combined only cost $1 million a year to run, which, you know, if you're listening, that might sound like a lot of money, but when you consider how much money the athletic program actually makes, it's just, you know, a drop in the bucket.
Right.
Swimming and diving on its own only costs $508,000 a year and it has 80 people.
Right.
So.
Perfect. That's what I was going to get to. So I saw that 500 number in one of your other interviews or whatever that you did. 500 grand a year. It just seems like you're right. Like when it comes to university funding, that's just not any, it's nothing. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it just seems like to me, if all you need is 500 grand a year to bring it back, that's like, even if, you know, football comes back eventually, it's going to happen. There's going to be $500,000 in the budget somewhere. It would be very easy to bring the program back, and it would just seem like that's a thing that's going to happen. I just don't see how they wouldn't bring it back. But obviously yet to be seen. So you get the news, and what was it like walking out of the building that day with your teammates? What was the discussion like? What was the feeling like? Was it just, what do we do now? Explain that.
Yeah, so what happened after the meeting, or I guess kind of during the meeting, is they ended up splitting the sports up. So they left swimming and diving in the gym because we were the biggest. And our coach got up and he was talking through his mask and he actually started to cry, which was one of the strangest things I've ever seen because Mark has always been the rock for the team. He's one of the strongest people I know. You know, I look up to him a lot.
Right.
And when he started to cry, that was a shocking moment for me. And I think for the rest of my team, we were like, oh my God, this is really happening. And you know, we're still all sitting 6 feet apart and he's like, you know what, guys, I don't care about social distancing right now, which is good. Cause you know, the thing you want to do in that situation is you want to hug your team. You want to hold each other. And so that's what happened as we all got up, everybody was hugging. And then towards the end of the meeting, we all sang the fight song together, which, you know, we didn't know if that was going to be our last fight song ever because with COVID, we're not guaranteed this season or anything. Sure. So that was a very trying moment for the team and strangely beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then after that, you know, we walked out and a lot of emotions, a lot of anger, a lot of sadness. Then we started to, at least I did, started to formulate a plan. I was like, you know what? This can't be final. We have this entire year to reverse this because they gave us this year to compete.
Right.
So in my mind, that means we have a year until we're cut. So let's try to save this program. We've got a year. I'm sure we can find a way to do that. So the way that I went about it was reaching out to as many media companies and newspapers and news agencies that I could, just to try to spread the word, because in my head, I'm thinking that, like, the more I can tell this story, the more likely it is that people will see it and will want to help. And, you know, there's been so many people that have been willing to publish this story, and we all appreciate that so much. And then also there's an alumni Facebook group page that is doing a lot. I'm not allowed to be in it because I'm not an alumni member, and they're keeping me out of, like, the grown-up discussions. Sure, so sure. I'm not allowed to be in that, but I know that there's a lot of promising things going on there. I know they're planning some protests and boycotts and things like that, which sound awesome. And then the Iowa Swim and Dive parents, I know, are doing their own thing too. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people who are willing to help us, and we have a petition, and it's already at over 20,000 signatures, which is amazing to know that 20,000 people care about our program and wish to see it reinstated.
Yep. I signed it. Go sign it, people.
Thank you. Yes, please sign it. And please encourage your friends to do the same. Even a couple Olympians, swimming Olympians, have posted about it.
That's awesome. Do you think, yeah. So, and I saw that. And so my question is a lot of people create petitions. Like, you can go create a petition. Does that petition have a chance to really mean something in your eyes? Can it really get something done? Because I feel like a lot of times petitions get signed and it's like, okay, the governing body or the, you know, whatever organization is being petitioned against or for or whatever, they just don't care. It doesn't do anything. So, I guess, is the momentum from that petition in your eyes enough to really make the people in charge reconsider this?
The petition on its own, I don't think is, but what the petition is I think it's an inspiration, and it's showing us that it's not just us that care about our program. It's showing us that 20,000 other people around the country and world care about our program. Mm-hmm. And that's what the petition means to us. You know, it's not just because, like, oh, here, Gary Barta, 20,000 people think that you should reinstate the swim program, so you have to.
Right.
Like, that's not what it's about. It's about giving us a reason to fight. And then also, you know, helping other people see what's going on, because if other people are protesting, if other people are angry, maybe that will help inspire change and make them rethink this decision, you know, because we've seen a lot of Big Ten swimming coaches reach out and, you know, post that they're not happy with this decision, that they feel for Iowa and they want to see this reversed. So I think it's stuff like that that's going to inspire the change. And the petition is just like the push in the right direction that we need.
It's a momentum thing for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool. That's what I thought. I definitely do think it'll help, because you get enough people to kind of worry about one thing, and the people who are making decisions do start to rethink things. What has swimming, this is a broader question, what has swimming for Iowa and being a Hawkeye meant to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to answer that question, I'm gonna have to go into the history of swim and dive.
Sure.
A little bit. We are a 103 going on 104 year old program. We're one of the oldest programs in the United States, and, you know, basically one of the oldest in the entire world. So I live on historic Melrose Court, which is about one minute from the field house.
Yep.
Which is our old pool. I think it was built in the 30s, and that's where the butterfly was invented. Yes, the butterfly was actually invented here at the University of Iowa, which is, I think, one of the coolest things ever, you know. So when you're watching the Olympics and you're seeing people from around the world swimming the butterfly, that happened here at the University of Iowa. So how it happened is people were swimming the breaststroke, and this guy, David Armbruster, who was a coach at Iowa, he decided he wanted to figure out a way to make the breaststroke faster. So normally in the breaststroke, you have an underwater recovery. So he thought, why don't we try having recovery outside of the water, like freestyle? And essentially he was doing butterfly arms with a breaststroke kick.
Cool.
So it really at first was this like weird hybrid between breaststroke and butterfly, and then later split into two different strokes. So that's what we have today, is the breaststroke and the butterfly. And that division happened at the University of Iowa. So when you are thinking about taking away this program, you're taking away history of what makes swimming what it is today. Iowa is a huge engineer and pioneer in, you know, in sports in general, and especially in swimming. We've pioneered so many things, you know. The other thing too is that if you're not super into the, you know, watching swimming, you may not know this, but underwaters are insanely important in swimming. And there was actually rules a while ago that made swimmers come up at some point during the race because everybody was just swimming underwater because it was faster and it was more underwaters and not swimming. And that also happened here. You know, we were the ones who worked on underwaters and made them what they are today. So again, more pieces of swimming that are that make it what it is today happened here. We also have a hydraulics lab. So we're still working on making swimming what it is because we're only 15% efficient in the water right now. So our coach Mark Long was working with the hydraulic lab here at the University of Iowa to see what else we can do. Like, how can we make it even faster? So when you are taking away this program, I think you're taking away the past, present, and future of what swimming is and could be. And then for me personally, you feel the history when you swim for this program. You know, we have at least one practice at the field house every year. And I think it's one of our best practices ever. The field house, it's an old pool, you know, built in the 30s,
old.
But when you swim in it, I swear you can feel the history. You can feel all of the amazing people that have gone through that program. And then we always have Mark who tells us some crazy stories that were passed down from, you know, swimmers from the 40s and the 50s. And it's just, it's a tradition and I'm so happy to be a part of it. And I'm going to fight as hard as I can to make sure that other people who come after me will have the opportunity to be a part of this, this historic program.
Yeah. It's, you did a really, really great job of explaining that and kind of laying it all out there. And we can tell that you're passionate about it. It's great that you're fighting for it. So you do have this last season, at least right now. You mentioned that swimming is tied to basketball in one of your other podcasts. So if basketball happens, theoretically swimming happens, you get to at least swim out your senior year. And then what are the plans for after that? What are you going to continue swimming, coaching? What are the goals for you?
Yeah, so we're really hoping we have this season. And I also, for the university in general, I really hope basketball happens because
basketball,
it's a huge moneymaker for, you know, the athletic program. We really need basketball to happen. And not just for the four sports that were cut, but for every sport. Like, man, we need this. And, you know, I'm seeing these tweets that maybe football could happen in, you know, November. I hope it's a mild winter. That's the case.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. So I really hope all these things happen because I care so much for every Iowa athlete. And, you know, God, the last thing I want to see is for more sports to be cut. I don't ever want anybody to feel the pain that we're feeling.
For sure.
So I really hope that we get to have the season. And for my teammates, I really hope that they get to have this season too. As for me, I think this will be my final lap in the pool. I've really enjoyed my experience as a swimmer, but so I'm pre-law.
Okay,
and
wow.
Before I wanted to go into corporate law, but I changed my mind a couple days ago that I now want to go into sports law. So my goal is to make athletics a better place. I think I've seen some of the ugly sides of it.
For sure.
Being so close to it, you know, the fact that my sport and three others were cut, you know, without, I don't feel like a good reason. And I feel like it was unfair how it happened. So my goal is to change that. I don't really have my roadmap yet, but I know my final goal. And also, I would love to make athletics a better place for minority groups.
Cool.
You know, we spent a lot of time this summer discussing some of the things that went on, and especially in the football program that just shouldn't have happened. And I feel so much for any athlete who is treated differently for the way they look or the way they are. And you know, that shouldn't be happening.
100%.
And yeah, my goal is I just want to make athletics a better place. And I think I can do that from the law side of things.
That's amazing. Well, we are super thankful. I know me and my other co-hosts would agree that we're so happy you were able to come on and talk about it this all, kind of share your story and share the story of Iowa swimming. It was good background for everybody listening and for myself. That was really, it was very interesting to listen to. And we wish you the best this season.
Yeah, thank you very much for helping us share our story.
In your senior year. It'll be one to remember for sure.
Yes, it will be.
All right. Thanks, Sage.
Episode
140 of the Washapalkons podcast with Sage Olensalen of the women's Iowa swimming team. This is me signing off. Talk at you again soon. Peace.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo. We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.